Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about why political Twitter is scary.
Political Twitter is scary.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everyone. We want to talk about scary stuff like political Twitter.
Which, even when you say that, like you just kind of get a little blood boil, don't you? Political Twitter.
I have anxiety.
Basically,
just say the word political. Yeah.
My palms are sweaty.
Your palms just got sweaty. And it's not because it's Halloween. It's because of political Twitter.
Hey, Bob, it's a fifth Wednesday. And we've been doing a lot of like heavy theological podcasts lately with deep thought. This one's much more lighthearted, but still spooky and scary because it's Halloween.
Basically, if you don't have a costume yet, you need to dress up as Bob Thune on Twitter.
if that was a costume, you would definitely get some haters.
The Twitter handle. Why would we get some haters, Bob? You last weekend were involved in some interesting...
Let's not even say involved. It was two weekends ago. Yeah. 2 weekends ago. I wouldn't even say involved, but I'll tell you the story.
Yeah, tell us the story.
I mean, I was in my Twitter feed. So back up. I was in my Twitter feed. I had read this little tweet from Ben Sasse. Some person had posted a video of Nancy Pelosi getting stormed by this mob that was yelling obscenities and calling her a communist. And Sasse posted that video and said, hey, this shouldn't happen. This is wrong. And then he followed it up with a tweet that said, the difference between America and most nations across history is that we use persuasion instead of violence. And I thought, you know, that's a good way of approaching something like that. Number one, he's standing up for someone who does not have the same political views as him. Nancy Pelosi is the enemy to many conservatives. Ben Sasse is saying, hey, she shouldn't be treated this way. And then he's sort of making a more broad statement. Hey, we in America use persuasion, not violence. When I read that, I thought, you know, that's Sasse taking the high road and trying to help us come back to, hey, let's not do dumb violent things to each other. Let's be civil. If we disagree, let's use persuasion. So I read that. I was like, oh, that's great. And then like, I don't know, a day later, someone that I follow, who's more in the theological stream, he's a theologian. I probably don't agree with everything he thinks, but he's a person I follow just because I like to learn and sort of pay attention. And he retweeted this professor from Yale who had retweeted Sasse's thing, the difference between America and most nations across history is that we use persuasion instead of violence. And she wrote, now keep in mind, she's quote tweeting Ben Sasse. So one of my things on Twitter is if you want to start a fight with someone, you can just reply to their post and say, hey, can I ask you about this? Because that's a little bit person to person. Now, the problem with Twitter is the whole world is sort of eavesdropping. But still, a reply is like, hey, Dusty, I might reply to you. And like, I think I accidentally replied to you from the Coram Deo Church account when you asked if the Brewers were going to have to pay the Kansas City Royals for their players. And I was like, oh, never mind, because they lost.
Delete.
Because I was a Dodgers fan. It was a way of poking fun at you. But I replied directly to you because I was like, oh, that's just fun. That's just me and Dusty having some banter on Twitter. What this woman did was not a reply to Ben Sasse. It was a quote tweet, which is basically, let me quote this person and then make my own statement about what they're saying. So it's sort of this, I don't know, it feels grandstandy to me.
Yeah, it makes it more intense.
But this Yale professor says, and she's quoting now to the world as though she's talking to Ben Sasse, this would just be silly if you weren't a Yale history PhD, but you are. You know it's dangerous to whitewash the historical record. You know making national myths of a glorious past is an authoritarian move to distort the present and delude the public. You know this is dangerous.
And that got you going a little
bit. Well, that popped up in my feed because this Christian thought leader that I follow retweeted that. And I read that and I was like, okay, number one, this woman is essentially saying that by saying the difference between America and most nations across history is that we use persuasion instead of violence, that by saying that Ben Sasse is making national myths of a glorious past, he's using an authoritarian move to distort the present and delude the public. I was like, she's implying a lot of motive to this tweet. And I just looked at that and I was like, that bugs me. And here's why. Because she is a professor of history at Yale. She's very liberal and progressive. She has some political bones to pick with Ben Sasse. She does not like Ben Sasse. But what she's doing is taking his words in a way that's completely different from what he meant. Now, Ben Sasse does have a PhD in history from Yale. I imagine that he knows that actually America has used violence at various times. I imagine that he's not trying to make a statement here about history. What he's doing is what politicians do, which is to say, hey, can't we all do X? You know, like he's using the word we and this sort of broad statement about, hey, we in America use persuasion instead of violence, not as a statement of history, but as a statement of, you guys, can't we be civil in how we talk to each other? And I understood that that's what he's doing. And I think any intelligent reader reading his tweet understands that's what he's doing. So I feel like this lady is just disingenuous to the actual intent of what Sasse is doing. And she's sort of like preaching a sermon here in her little tweet of that Ben Sasse is making an authoritarian move here to distort the present and delude the public. That's his goal. And so I tweeted, a statement appealing to the nobler aspirations in all of us is not the same as a statement of historical fact. Not to discern the difference is sophistry. Now, the sophists in Greek philosophy were the people who Plato and Aristotle took issue with because their goal was just to win the argument. So they would use words and use logic simply for the sake of argument. And if they win, they win. And so Plato and Aristotle took issue with them because they weren't interested in the truth. They were just interested in sort of scoring argument points. And so I essentially was saying, hey, if you read what Ben Sasse is saying, it's clear that he's not making a statement of historical fact. He's appealing to the nobler aspirations in all of us. He's saying, hey, we in America use persuasion. Let's not use violence. And I say, not to discern the difference is sophistry. And then that, of course, by the way.
Yeah, that got you some replies.
I looked this woman up. Well, I looked this woman up on Twitter. So I'm replying to her and to this person I follow who had retweeted her. He is literally the only person that we both have in common. So this lady is completely in another world from me. And this, of course, plunged me into all of her followers on Twitter and people who apparently don't at all like Ben Sasse or me. And so they basically started to argue about
everything.
Ben Sasse. They're essentially trying to call Ben Sasse a racist. They're saying, hey, look, if you say we use persuasion instead of violence, you're not being truthful about slavery. You're not being truthful about Jim Crow. You might not be being truthful even about what's going on currently with some of Trump's policies. They're just all up in arms about this. And so this guy says it's possible to appeal to the better natures of man without blatant misrepresentations of fact.
Wow.
You should give Sasse the credit of expecting him to know that.
Yeah.
I read that and I was like, well, A, I am giving him the credit of expecting him to know that, and B, I'm saying I don't think Sasse is seeking to blatantly misrepresent fact. He's not making a statement about history. And so I responded, this was my last response, because I decided as I was typing this, I'm not going any further. This is just dumb.
Which she didn't reply, by the way.
She
kind of bailed.
She's
she
a
bailed.
Yale history professor. I'm sure she doesn't have time for
she's
these sorts of things.
She's got real work.
At least not with me. Here's what I said. Look, I tweeted, every politician uses the aspirational we, and we generally give them the freedom to do that without demanding that they fit a classroom mode of discourse. What I'm saying is, hey, every politician, pick your politician. They're all going to use the language of we and us, and they're going to appeal to sort of like the nobler truths and ideals of America as a way of calling us to something greater. That's what every politician does. That's what makes them sort of, you know, speech makers and speech writers and rhetoricians. You can talk about Obama, you can talk about Clinton, you can talk about Bush or Trump. You know, everyone is using the we in an aspirational sense and saying, here's what we in America are about. I was trying to say, look, politicians do this and we understand that that's what they're doing and we give them the freedom to do that. And then, of course, everybody piled on no, we don't give them the freedom to do that, Pastor.
Yeah.
And
in quotes, by the way,
et cetera.
Pastor quotes.
Yeah. So, I got pulled down the rabbit hole. I didn't reply to any other things, but it was just clear to me that like I was getting trolled by a bunch of mm-hmm. people who just mm-hmm. love to bash on anyone who would bother to say Ben Sasse is not a idiot or would bother to say, hey, you know, actually, if you take these words in context, I don't think they mean what you think they mean. Nobody on Twitter wants to think about that. They just want to sort of rant.
Yeah, they just want to find out some black and white arguments with your language and words and then just go with whatever direction they want. Especially Greg. He didn't really like it.
So, I don't know. It feels Halloween-y to me. It feels like the Night of the Living Dead or something.
Yeah.
But I think it actually taught me something about, I think there's an application of biblical wisdom here. Which is to say, and this is something, I think social media does a terrible job of this, but I hope that Christians on social media do a faithful job of this, which is to say, we have to let people's words mean what they would mean for them to mean, right? Now, I realize that, you know, politics involves some back and forth and debate and discussion, and that's fine. But what I'm saying is, when I read a tweet from Ben Sasse that says, We in America, unlike other nations, use persuasion instead of violence. I read that and common sense says, it's clear to me that Ben's statement is not saying America has never used violence and the only way we deal with disagreement is we persuade people. Obviously, our historical record is much more...
nuanced than that.
Well, muddy than that.
Yeah, muddy.
And, right?
That's true.
But I'm taking Sasse's words in the way he means them as an aspirational statement about American values and longings. It's clear to me that this woman who, like, trashed him is, I mean, she's trying to say, basically, she's making a power play by saying, hey, this is an authoritarian move that you're doing. You're intentionally trying to distort the past and delude people. And, you know, I know Sasse isn't going to respond to that, and maybe I shouldn't have responded to that. But I just think, like, that's... One of the things Proverbs encourages us to do is to use discretion, right? There's a lot in the book of Proverbs about discretion, and discretion means discerning different modes of discourse, is the language I used in this tweet, meaning Ben Sasse teaching in a classroom about history is different than Ben Sasse giving a speech about ideal American values. Those are different modes of discourse, and we should understand every statement in the mode of discourse in which it's given. Meaning, like I tell people this all the time, Dusty, when I'm up in front in the pulpit preaching, mm-hmm. that's a certain mode of discourse. I'm preaching the word of God. That's different from when we're sitting around the fire pit in your backyard and we're just talking about stuff. And so I might say in your backyard, man, I really hope the Dodgers win the World Series, right? And if there's a Red Sox fan in the congregation, like, well, see, the pastor's a Dodgers fan, and he, you know, well, look, that has zero to do with the gospel, zero to do with the Bible, zero to do with the mode of discourse of preaching. There's a lot of things. You know, I would say things to my neighbors or to my friends. I would talk about things and have opinions about things that I wouldn't have in the pulpit or that I wouldn't say in the pulpit because they're not appropriate to that mode of discourse, right? And not bad things. I'm just saying I would talk about, I might tell you, hey, here's the best kind of investment I think for your, you know, for your retirement funds. Well, I would never say that as a pastor in a preaching mode of discourse because people have freedom of conscience there and they don't care what I think. But if my friends are saying, hey, you know, what investments have you found useful? That might be a conversation I would have. All of us operate in multiple different modes of discourse and we understand that. And part of discretion is allowing those modes to be what they are. And I felt like that's an example of what political Twitter seems to have a hard time doing is to say, you know what, let's allow people to speak in the modes of discourse where they're trying to speak. Sometimes they're saying things that are very aspirational and very idealistic, like Ben Sasse saying, we're a nation that persuades one another. That's obviously an aspirational statement. I do think most Americans aspire to live in that kind of a world where it's like, yeah, when we disagree, we should have give and take and we should persuade one another. We shouldn't fight and argue and be violent with each other. That's what I hear him saying.
Yeah.
I don't hear him saying, hey, let's whitewash the historical record and pretend that slavery didn't happen and that... you know, the Vietnam War didn't happen and that America has never been complicit in violence in our national discourse.
I think there's another lesson here to just not be mindlessly putting content out into the Twitter world.
Are you saying that's what I was doing?
No, I don't. I don't. But I do think, like, before I tweet something, I'm actually thinking through, does this benefit anybody or am I just, like, talking to myself?
Yeah, what's Andy Crouch's rule?
I don't know.
Is it him or Chalice? It has like, it's like a fight, like, let it sit for 5 minutes. And if you still think it's a good idea, then tweet it or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Like that.
Well, I just think, like, especially as Christians, right, in a totally social networked world, the internet is alive and well. I mean, even like there's so much ministry going on through the internet now that we even have to realize that. So like as Christians, we have to really discern what you said earlier, what we're saying before we even say it. And if you say it, do you actually have a compelling argument behind that? Is it worth saying? Is it going to benefit people? Is it actually helpful? Or are you just like talking things into the air? That's not helpful.
I think it's also maybe a good invitation to like think about how you use social media. And like I recently kind of went through on Twitter and looked at everyone that I followed and got rid of a lot of noise.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is pretty, it was like, I didn't realize like how much of an effect that all of that noise was having on me and how I would just, how I was feeling throughout the day when I would check it. And so, yeah, I started following a few more like theologians, some women who I really appreciate their thoughts and their ideas when it comes to political matters. And so I feel like I think I told my husband that my Twitter feed is now a little bit more mature. And
wow, what's that like?
I don't know. It's nice.
And obviously, as a leader, I realize I use Twitter in a different way from some people. Like there are ways in which the role I have as a leader, you know, I'm trying to use that in certain ways on social media. And one of the things I try to do or feel convicted to do is just to try to be to practice grace and truth, to be truthful. This is one of those moments where I'm like, I didn't have to respond to this professor at Yale. And in hindsight, maybe I wouldn't do it again. But when I think I feel a certain way when Christians retweet things that I feel like, yeah, that's just disingenuous. Like what that person is doing isn't fair to the actual facts. I'm fine if you want to disagree with what Sass said or whatever. But when you're retweeting someone who's sort of weaponizing his words and using them in a way that's clearly different than what they were intended, I just kind of want to go, hey, that's not cool. Like, I don't think that's not how I'd like to see my Christian friends using Twitter. I want us to use it for debate and discussion as useful as it can be, but in a way that hopefully is fair to the people who are saying things and that treats their words the way they would want their words to be tweeted. You know, one of the basic principles of debate is just, hey, state your opponent's position in a way they would agree with, you know? And so I don't think Ben Sasse would agree that, you know, what he's trying to do with his statement is to distort and, you know, blur the facts. I think he would say, no, I'm trying to appeal to aspirations and say, you know, let's be Americans in the best sense of the word. So I want to take his words as the speaker would intend them. And I want to take this woman's word as she would intend them too. And she made it really clear how she would intend them. Hey, you're trying to do something with that. And so it was pretty clear that I could tell what she was doing. What I didn't like was what she was doing with his words, feeling like she was misrepresenting how he would have intended them to be taken.
I mean, this is all just, there's a lot of biblical application in all of this.
Yes.
Right? Ephesians 4. The things that I say need to be edifying to people. And so therefore, I'm interested, Bethany, in what you said, like Twitter's basically us signing up for noise, you know? I mean, that's really what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so you saying like, oh, I weeded out all the noise I didn't want to hear. Well, that's interesting. That's like deleting some of your iTunes library that of old music you don't listen to. Like that's kind of smart, you know, you're purging. And so the same thing is to be true of Christians. If we're going to engage in debate and conflict and conversation on Twitter, it needs to be edifying. And even if it's healthy, strong debate, it can still edify those who are hearing it.
Yeah. And what I, you know, my response was intent. I was trying to talk to this Yale professor and the person I knew who had retweeted it. And what happened was I got sucked into all the noise of like all the people with 100 followers who are like, you know, oh, I can pick a fight with you now because you said something. And so it just really degenerated into a not very helpful conversation. And in the future, that's
so
a good learning
funny
for me.
It's so funny too. Like if you go read the thread, you have to like, you realize that that guy, nobody in your debate, did you state that you were a pastor? And so that means that
he's
like
stalking me or something.
He's like trolling the internet, finding out who you are, and then so that he can have some mean remark.
Oh, it's on my Twitter profile, so maybe he just looked me up. I was like, oh, you're a pastor at Coram Deo Church in Omaha, Nebraska.
I was saying it's at least a couple clicks away, though. Like, he's not just engaging the dialogue.
That's true. You're right. All right, so, hey, it's Halloween, trick or treat. Stay off the interwebs. The world can be a scary place out there. But I do think this is one of those moments where we can learn three things. One, how to listen well to others and exercise wisdom. Two, how to use our words in ways that bring truth to bear. And three, it'd be wise not to enter into dialogues and conversations. And for me, man, I was, on vacation with my family, and I just decided, you know what? After that second tweet, I was like, you know what? This is probably just going to continue to be a tit for tat, and I don't need to say any more than this. So I'm just going to let everything else go, and the guys who are insulting me, and I'm just gonna ignore that, because, as you said, Bethany, I don't need that noise. I'll just enjoy my weekend and chalk this up to it's not going to be a very fruitful conversation.
And maybe the Dodgers will win. You could tweet about that.
I will. I'll tweet about sports. It's more fun that way.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts or questions or future podcast topics, send us an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Wednesday for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.